Hello, Supercoach community, to another week of the One Percenters podcast. I'm pretending to be fired up, community, but I'm not really. Devastating week on the park.
When is it not a devastating week for you this season?
Oh, honestly, just all my trials. Caniglio out to Brayshaw. Traded in Rory Thompson. Was on track for 200 after 20 points in the first 5 minutes. Goes down. Not even sure what else I did, really. I got Greg Clark in, did nothing. So,
A great week for you, Todd. What'd you score, mate?
Just 2,280. I also put the captain from Clary back to Petraka this week. Petraka has a quiet one, Clary goes off. Just nothing's happening this for me, Harrow, at the moment. But we do have a few weeks to go.
We do.
Actually, a lot of weeks to go, there's enough time to bounce back in for the TFC to overcome the Sparrows by season's end. But only 2,281 points, around the 36K rank for that round, and it's dropped me back from 17.5K to 19K. So I thought I would have dropped back a few more places, but I'm still in the top 20K, so it's not the worst, but I'd love to get in that top 10, 5K at one stage.
Yeah, it's a bit of an exclusive club in that zone, mate. So 2,504 for me this week, Todd, and a loss in our league matchup. So incredibly stiff there. Into the top 1% though overall, ranked 2,490. So up nearly 2,000 places. We're sitting pretty at the moment, Sparrows, Todd.
Yeah, well,
that's what happens when you don't trade Ozak coming into your team.
Yeah. You had to call on the Leon's boy. I mean, not Leon's boy, Adam Simpson's little boy.
Who's that, man?
Apparently, Simo did stop messing with his head.
Yeah. Oh,
and he found his way back into the Sparrows lineup.
Yeah, he did. He was entered the lineup and was serviceable, Todd, 56 in the ruck. So not ideal, but still going 2,500 with huge cock was a pretty good result.
Yeah,
so
I feel like his energy lifted your squad a bit. Yeah. Without him, I can't see spuds like Cog getting 140.
Yeah, look, mate, we'll dive into that a little bit later on, but he's my pick of the week, the big Cog, so plenty of blokes trading him out this week.
Oh, no, against the training cones. We all know your man Rao got 160 and then he pulled out touches this week against a proper AFL lineup.
GWS coach has indicated, McVay, that he's probably going to be more around the ball. So that's a very promising sign, Todd. And
yeah, but he won't be versing by every week, mate. So
yeah, no, but I think he's definitely a bit of a watch as a potential F6 keeper at the end of the year, but we'll wait and see.
Mate, I don't think he'll be an F6 keeper, but I'd be lying. Everyone's
talking about his buy, about his break-even. Oh, he's going to bleed 40K. Lost 2K Titans, break-even's in the 70s now. So
that was the start of my terrible round. I lost 90 points just then, going Caniglio instead of Martin, and in fact, Martin ended up losing more Dosh in the end as well. So
yeah, so not a great result for you, mate. While we're on the topic of frustration and just being upset with our players and primos, highly celebrated player on the podcast, Tuke Miller, had an absolute stinker this week, and he's my Minson is abusing him this week because
that's just not on. That's what we're about, Harrow. He did have the flu. It hasn't come out, but he's a kind of character
who don't know that. You've just made that up.
I haven't made it up. That's just the man he is. He's your Roger Federer type. Feds will go out, play a game injured, and just out of total respect for his opponent, he was saying the post-presser that he was completely fine. And that's just the sort of bloke Took is. We love him, and he's just
59 points.
Great man. He'll bounce back next week.
Yeah, look, I hope so. They've got the Hawks, so he could bounce back there, but might cop a tag. Who knows? Anyway, we'll move on, unless you've got any other.
Yeah, just a quick shout out to Ridley. He keeps finding ways to just give it to me in a few different directions, which are a little bit uncomfortable. But I don't even know why I missed. He just finds a way to miss health and safety protocols. I thought that was a thing of the past, Harrow.
Yeah, clearly not, mate. So
he'll be back this week. He's actually lifted since that round one. I think he's averaging over 100. From round two onwards.
I reckon that's a complete myth, actually. You might have to get the fact checker out on that one.
That is not a myth.
I've just actually looked at our group, Todd. And Prostitutes Inc. overall, what do you reckon he is?
I think he's around 14.
Sixth.
Is he sixth now? I did see he was having a big score.
Sixth overall.
He's moved up to sixth.
Sixth. Wow.
We might have to try and get him on the pod. Well, it is round 10.
Yeah, well, I think we will. Look.
If you're out there, Prostitutes Inc.
Yes, Prostitutes Inc.
I'm not sure what that name is, but yeah, I'm glad to get you on.
Sixth overall, you could certainly help myself, and well, you could definitely help Todd out with just about anything. He needs all the help he can get, so get on board, mate. Shoot us a message on Twitter. And
what is it? Percenters underscore one.
Yeah, I believe so.
Or you can even send our Facebook page.
Yeah, send us a message.
It's a little bit quiet over there, but it does exist, apparently.
It is a thing. Anyway, we might move on to our bubble boys, Todd. So you've had the goggles on. I can see that you've actually got a snorkel on this week.
I've got the snorkel on. I've got the flippers on.
You're sniffing around in the bath under the water, and it's a bit weird. Very weird.
I've got a lot of protection this week. Yeah. I'm a bubble bath because I'm a little bit nervous to dip the toes in.
Hopefully other forms of protection.
It's a very dodgy bath this week. A few tsunamis going through there. Yes. It's very wild, unstable waters to say the least. So I do have my floaties on as well.
Yeah,
well, I'm a bit nervous. I could drown because while there is a few bubble boys, they are dangerous, and the job security. Bevo's got a water pistol in the outside, just blasting kids. Yeah. But it's a little bit creepy from Bevo.
It is,
mind you. But job security not great, and I can see Bevo taking a few of them out.
Yeah, I think so. Just standing on the edge of the bath, the big handlebar mustache, and the budgie smugglers with the water pistol out. Luke Cleary, Todd. Sorry about that image, but Luke Cleary looked good so far.
Mate, sorry, you put me a bit off track here.
Yeah, sorry, mate. But Cleary, 117K, negative 67 break even. He's looked good in his past couple of games. So
16, 13 touches, past two games. Gets a few marks.
Yeah, I feel like he's used it pretty well and looked pretty composed as
75
well.
75 last week.
Yeah, I thought he can't get dropped, can he, this week, surely?
Oh, I'll tell you what, this will be a nightmare. If I bring him in for Rory Thompson, and already had to burn a trade.
He gets dropped.
And then Cleary gets dropped. I'll cry myself to bed, community, and I will jump out of that bath and just run straight through Bevo.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I did avoid the Rory Thompson selection, which I was very happy about.
Yeah, it was just pure luck there. Let's be honest. He was looking good.
Yeah. Anyway, I've escaped that. It's sort of, that's karma for bringing in steel and getting burnt there. So, yeah, look, Cleary looked good. Is no one really banging down the door in the VFL at the Dogs? Is there to take his spot other than Crozier?
Don't have much depth at the moment. Yeah. Crozier is the only noticeable name.
I feel like while they're winning, though, he should hold his spot.
Yeah, Cleary didn't do anything special in the VFL as well to get a call up. So that's where I'm a little bit nervous, but I'm going to have to pick someone to replace Rory Thompson. It just depends on who it is. This next man, a little bit weird. He's just doing some volunteer work down at his local retirement village.
Yes, Todd. reading
out a few quizzes.
He's doing the bingo.
Doing the bingo.
He's having a bit of soup.
Yep.
He's Cooper Stevens, I think his name is, Todd. So he's got a gig in the midfield at the moment, so attended 10 CBAs on the weekend. Only concern for me, other than job security, which we might dive into in a second, is his game time. So last 2 weeks, he's had 63% and 66% in his previous game, which was a couple of weeks before against GWS. So the Cattery love to just have the youth just very slowly ease their way into the game and don't really pump too much time into them with time on ground. So if he's getting 80% game time, he's probably scoring, 70s, pushing into 80. So I don't know. I think
he scored so far?
Scored, I'm pretty sure, back-to-back 60s. Yeah, not like 60-something back-to-back. So he's looked solid and did have some CBAs in his game against GWS as well, racked up 19 possessions. So he can accumulate. He's playing in the midfield and concerns about job security are assuaged somewhat by Dangerfield being out. So Cats have come out and said he's probably going to do a conditioning block, so it looks like he will miss a couple of weeks.
Yeah, a lot of talk surrounding Danger has a bit too much weight on him. They reckon he's...
Not buying into the Kane Corns Wayne Carey feud, but...
I don't know. I was listening to Hodgie this morning. He reckons...
Hodgie can't talk, surely.
He reckons you just got to slim down a bit once you hit that age. But so, the retirement so village loves to just push their meals onto their attendees. And, yeah, he's just been eating too much soup down at the Catteries over 80s. But
look, I think Stevens is a risky selection, job security-wise, but he has better scoring potential than a lot of other rookies.
Who do you reckon has better job security, Cleary or Cooper Stevens?
I think while Danger's out, that's hard. I think it's even 50-50. Oh, it's a bit of a cop-out, but maybe while Danger's out, Stevens probably has better job security, potentially. But, yeah, that's a tough one. The next bloke, not keen on this bloke at all. Joel Jeffrey Todd, double J, Mr. Alliteration.
JJ.
Kicked 5 on the weekend. Looked very exciting. 127K, negative 45 break even. A week before that, 7 disposals and kicked 0 goals for 25 Supercoach points. And I just turned my attention back to his scores last year, Todd. Played a full game.
Yeah.
Negative one in one of his games. He averaged 26 over the 4 games that he played.
Sure he didn't put his jersey on and you weren't out there,
Harry? Yeah, no, I wasn't out there, Todd. But I don't know. It has real Rosas vibes for me, this selection. I unfortunately do have Rosas. We'll get back to that a bit later. But I don't know. I just think that despite that big score, he'll come out and score 30 next week.
The Suns have had some tough games, but the last few weeks. And...
I don't know. I won't be picking him in my team, Todd.
Roses and JJ, if the Suns... They're playing Hawks. Hawks will be tough, but they've got North Melbourne after that.
Yeah.
And now some of these rookies could find a bit of footy in those games.
Yeah, that's true.
And I wouldn't be surprised if you get a Rozo-JJ combo.
Potentially.
Bang.
Yeah.
But they could I don't know.
I'm probably just... I just feel like... Most coaches are probably only trading in one rookie this week, aren't they?
Yeah.
In which case, you're probably going to be looking for... And there are probably more downgrade options in defence as well. Like, but we'll get into that while we get to trade strategy. So
probably the last bit of turbulence in the bubble bath. It's...
Yes.
Yeah. A little bit quiet at this moment is Butler. Sam Butler.
Oh, okay.
Down the Hawkery.
Yep.
He is on the bubble this week.
Mm.
Hasn't done a lot to this stage. Is a small half forward.
Yeah.
I don't even have his stats from the weekend. But I think he was a buy, had scored 9. I mean, he was a sub, he scored 9. Buy. Yeah, he wasn't the buy, but...
TFC had the buy at the moment.
Yeah, I think I do have a buy. But scored 9. And then he backed that up with a... Was it 40?
Let me just clarify, Todd. He definitely didn't score 9.
We might have to...
Okay, I'm pulling the stats up, Todd.
Pad for a little bit.
a bit of padding. What's his name?
Butler. Oh, Sam.
Sam Butler.
Sam right. Butler.
Oh, you've given me nothing here, Todd.
This is just providing me a bit of padding time.
Okay, so Sam Butler. That was very poor from you, Todd, there. But anyway, 49 points on the weekend, Supercoach-wise, and you had 18 points in round 9 against the Tides. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about that, but I don't know a huge amount about his job security either, but Hawks did have a good win, so he should probably hold his spot, you'd reckon.
Yeah, and Sammy Mitchell did actually come out in the media. It's a bit rogue from him, but he said Sam Butler should do more lunges to stay in shape.
This is really aggressive padding from you, if this is still padding.
No, this is straight from Sammy Mitchell. He said Sam Butler should do more lunges to stay in shape. And he said that would be a big step forward.
I can't tell if you're taking a piss or not. I can't tell if you're being serious right now.
Anyway, that's flowed straight over Harrow's head.
I did not understand that. Yeah. All right. I've actually got his stats now that I've just completely zoned out of that joke. But 9 disposals he had on the weekend. Kicked 2 goals, which obviously boosted his score up a bit. So, yeah, I don't know. You'd hope that he'd be accumulating a few more tackles as well. Did only rack up 2 tackles. So, bit of a risky selection, but I feel like you need him for your structure, don't you? We'll talk about that a little bit later as well in terms of structural moves.
And just quickly while we're still in the vicinity of a bubble bath, just seeing a fish swimming around.
Spotted some marine life.
It's wearing a bow tie. And
yes.
It deserves a question of, Harrow, what would you call a fish wearing a bow tie?
Oh, this is going to be terrible. I don't know, mate.
So, fish decayed.
Oh, my God. Mate, this is what I've got to... I actually feel like I'm JB and I'm dealing with Billy Brown. This is joke of the day.
Sorry, but if you...
That is so poor.
Do you want to move us ahead, Aaron?
I do, but just before I quickly do, I just want to mention that for the week before for Sam Butler, 3 disposals in a full game.
Oh, he's still on Butler. Yeah, I haven't even been listed at all.
Sorry, but yeah, 3 disposals he had for 18 super coach points and didn't kick a goal. So that's quite average and that's a scary selection. But we're going to move past him. A couple of first gamers to mention, Todd. So, Jacob, what's funny, mate?
Sorry, I'm just eating a pear, Harrow.
What?
Hang on.
Oh, have you got another joke for us, Todd?
Oh, maybe. Where do fruits go on vacation?
I don't know.
Paris.
Better. Not bad.
I'm just wasting the community's time there.
Not bad.
All right, let's move on. Right. So
I just want to mention a couple of first gamers. So blokes that I think could be, or one in particular that I think could be a good option to think about after next week or the following week. So Jacob Ware, also for GWS, looked promising. So he scored 51, was playing behind the ball in what looked like a pretty friendly supercoach role, and looked composed. So I think that he will keep his spot. And if we are going to be looking for defensive downgrades over the next couple of weeks with blokes like Dacos, DeConnie, McCartan. So I think he could be a good option. Definitely not for this week, but has the round 12 bye as well. So he'll play his second game this week. He'll have the bye in round 12 and then he can come in round 13 and be really helpful bench coverage for 13 and 14.
Yeah, so he's going to be really...
provided he holds his spot.
Yeah, so popular come that, after that round 12 bye, because those with SDKs and your Picardons, you can go one up, one down.
Yeah, and GWS
got... what I'm looking to do.
GWS got belted by Werribee on the weekend in the VFL. So only bloke that looked semi-impressive was, I think, Ryan Angwin. So does play... I think he's a medium... like forward defender, he could be a threat to his spot, but pretty confident where we'll get a few more weeks in the team. Colin Riordan.
Yeah, adding to that.
Yeah.
Jacob Weir can kick.
Thanks for that, Todd.
Just saying, has a very good boot on him, so.
Yeah, I think he, I don't think he's, a, off the top of my head, his efficiency might have been 69% on the weekend, but I did, yeah, did also agree.
2 words to describe him, can kick.
Thank you. Well,
yeah, so I'm excited.
Yeah, Colin Riordan played for the Swans, but I'm just not going to even talk about him. I don't think he's that relevant. Abattoir. Walk to the abattoir, Todd. Take a wander. A few people this week that are probably similar names, to be honest, to last week. If you're a silly man or woman and traded Cogs instead of Nick Martin, then you still have Nick Martin on your field. He's probably got to go this week, doesn't he, Todd?
So Nick Martin, he got the rifle at halftime last week. He's gone already.
Rage trade.
He's got the disgust in round 12 by get him out right now.
Yeah, has to go.
Do not hold.
Yeah.
I know founder of a podcast, Briggs, loves Martin, but
I think he had 14 disposals in a quarter. In the last
quarter. In saying that, he had, something, I don't know what he was doing for the first quarters, but the last quarter he had like 14 touches and just scored all points for it.
Mm.
If that was the first quarter, he would have gone large, but the game was a bit over because the Bombers are just not up to it these days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was worth no points. Another one, I've been banging on about this the last 2 weeks, Dacos. Now, I've traded him ages ago, but if you still have Dacos, break even 88, hold.
Yeah, hold. I've got him, still got him, so I'll be holding on to him until he has his round 14 buy.
Yeah, so trade him round 13, but yeah. He's got the round 14 buy. Let him play round 12 and 13.
Yeah.
And then look to push him on to someone who's already had their buy. So hold him. I don't know why people are trading him. Hold, hold, hold. This next bloke, your love child.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of him.
Who is it?
Just get him out.
Who is it, mate?
He's, so first he lost his sponsorship with SPF. Then he lost his sponsorship with Sharon.
Yes.
And so now...
no endorsements left.
Yeah, now he's living in his mother's basement. So he's lost all his money. He's losing more money. He's in debt. The debt collector's knocking on the front door. He's bleeding.
Yeah. Am I right in saying this bloke had 6 disposals on the weekend?
6 touches. Allergic to the pill.
I don't know what is going on
He's
there.
He's scared of a Sharon.
Yeah.
They didn't treat him nicely.
Yeah. Sharon's sponsorship could be in jeopardy. 3-round average of 68, Todd.
Yeah. And started round 1, 160.
Yeah.
So that is Matty Rowell, if you haven't caught on. So get him out.
Yeah, he's got to go. I think they're probably the main people that most coaches would be looking at offloading. Nick Martin will be the big one. So I think we can discuss people that we might bring in for him and other targets for this week. I think that there are a couple of... We might talk about next week the trade targets to bring in after the round 12 bye, potentially. But in terms of targets this week that we can bring in... Before the buys, clearly you have to look at your own structure and work out what rounds you are short for players in and potentially avoid players that have that buy. But I'd be avoiding everyone in round 12.
Yeah, round 12 is a no-go zone.
Yeah, so Blues, Essendon, GWS, Port, Tigers, Saints. Be trying to steer clear of players in those rounds unless you had, say, unless you were really struggling in another round and it worked out for you, but yeah, probably avoid for now.
You're better off going to Chernobyl instead of trading in someone from round 12.
That was much better than your gags, the actual proper gags, Todd. I think your one-liners are up.
I think that's just the truth, mate. Round 12, just don't get him in.
Yeah.
A lot of coaches are already struggling with a lot of primos in those rounds because there's a lot of good options. You have the Blues, Essendon, GWS, Port, Tiggs, Saints. Just don't get him.
Did just read them out, Todd, but yeah, that's...
Oh, sorry, I was just a bit distracted, Harrow.
Bit tired, mate. Yeah. Chernobyl, bit of radiation's got to your brain. So, yeah, I guess in terms of targets this week...
I reckon a few of my players have probably visited Chernobyl before the season.
A few lingering effects, you reckon? Yeah. Maybe Ridley had radiation poisoning. He didn't actually have
Ridley,
COVID.
He just keeps breaking down with stuff.
So, yeah, look, this bloke, look, he's going to give you a raging bit of excitement. I know you talked him up last week, but Tom Mitchell.
All right, community... I'm on an absolute tear. Let's just say this. Gorn, 170. He got a 173. Bowie, 100. Hits his second ton for the season, gets 106. The week after that, it was Petraka, 150. He gets 138, which is still close enough. On the Twitter account, Took had 5 in the first quarter a few weeks back. I said he'd go 120 or 130 plus. Hits 160. And then, what was it last week? Titch, 130, gets 129. I tell you what, my final calls community, do not... Oh, actually, I can't say that.
I'm really interested in what that was going to be.
No, I'll get us cancelled. But anyway, words cannot describe the run I'm on. So if you're thinking about tuning out, I've got another... juicy prospect at the end of this episode yet to come to my mind, but last week's was spontaneous and geez, it was good. And Titch, he just has to come into my side now. I did say it last week, if he gets 130 he's in.
So is he gonna be in your side this week, Todd?
you know, just said that, but we'll wait and see in the back half of the pod when we start to look at our trade targets. But yeah, Titch.
Okay. Yeah, look, back in the centre bounces, very promising. If he stays there, he averages 115.
And I did see in, it was floating around Twitter that Titch had his, might have been his lowest CBAs of a year.
On the weekend?
No. Yes. Sure. But not. He was pushing up onto the ball and still at a lot of contests.
Yeah, okay.
Because there's no way a man plays 50% forward and has 24 touches at halftime. Yeah, or 23.
Yeah.
So he is getting a lot more on ball time. Even if he doesn't start at the CBA, he's then pushing up and playing high half forward when he is in the forward line. And the Hawks just, they're a better side when he's around the ball.
Yeah, I agree. So he's definitely a watch this week. I won't be targeting him because my midfield's done. But he is a big, big watch. If the coaches that are looking at him and want to get him in, would you say go, you probably have to go this week, don't you? Or do you wait and then, or you could wait 1 week because he's got the round 14 bye, so you could wait a week.
Yeah, you could get him in next week.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of coaches will want a 2 week sample size to actually go, all right, he's definitely in that friendly role again. So I don't have a problem with waiting a week. But then if he pulls out a 70, then you can also, you know, be glad that you avoided. So could go this week, could also wait a week. He's a good option to consider or at least have your eye on. And then we move into the Blues. The Dogs. They're blue in colour, but they have a few juicy prospects, Todd.
Yeah, one weird-looking prospect as well. As
a few weird-looking prospects in that
team. Spent a lot of time up north in Scandinavia.
The big giraffe is back. He's been in a Swedish zoo, locked up.
He's finally broken the shackles.
Yeah, so he's out of there. He's got on the boat back to Australia.
To be fair, our community, when he did leave, best-looking giraffe, he did look quite fit, but he's come back he's limping.
Yeah, he's a bit banged up.
Looks like he's...
The Stockholm papers were, in their articles, were saying he didn't look great when he escaped. So, he's been sick, and he's had a hammy injury. I would not be going... I know a few people are going early and bringing him straight into their team, but especially with Jordan Sweet probably going to play as well alongside him, you just have to have a week to look at him, don't you?
Yeah. I just don't see the point of getting him this week.
Yeah, I feel like
you'd much rather get these next two... Baz and Bont.
Yeah, so two Bont of his and Baz. Teammates. And I feel like you could... I mean, happy to cop the egg on your face if English comes out and scores 150, but... I feel like you're pretty safe waiting a week. Bont and Baz. So if you had to pick one, who are you picking this week, Todd?
Personally, I'm going Bont.
Yeah, same. Yep.
And it seems like both of them are a block to get forward status. In saying that, Baz, there's a few whispers that he's a little bit sick.
Where have you heard this, mate?
So if you actually paid attention to the Supercoach world, Will did a little bit of research.
Obviously... paying better attention than you, mate, from like 2000 and you're in the lower echelon.
Oh, but anyway. Here he goes again. The buys haven't hit yet and he's talking up. It's just going to let you... tell you what, you've fallen a lot in previous years. This is going to be your greatest
very demise. I'm very, very, very confident where I'm sitting at the moment. So
We'll see when I'll drop off those tissues come round 13.
We will see, Todd. But come in handy. Bont and Pelly, yes, I think he's a better option than Baz personally. I know that Baz is a bit cheaper, but I just feel like Bont, well, you can just lock, if he's a forward, I think he'll still be top 10 midfielder. So
yeah, he has done that in the last three years.
So he's an absolute lock to be, if he's forward.
Being crippled.
Yeah, he'll be your top two forward, no doubt. Yeah. Probably the number one forward. And I just feel like that's an extremely safe selection. So has been... injured and have had a bit of inside word from a close source that he was carrying that injury earlier in the season and did want to miss a couple of weeks. And the doggy said, no, we're not going to let you. We're in strife for losing games, needed to get up. So looks like he's sort of on top of it now.
And he's still averaging 100.
Exactly right. Still playing well, even if he's carrying the injury. So good option. If I was upgrading my forward line this week, he'd be coming in.
Yeah, so... the doggies do need him to lift
and
have a big second half of a year.
Yeah.
Baz, if you are tossing up between the two and you were 50-50, Baz, by all reports, has been sick. Might have caught it from Took.
So, where?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I don't know. What's his source for this?
Took or Baz?
Sickness for Baz.
So, Baz tackled Took. Took had flu.
Shut up, mate.
Flu goes to Baz. Nah, in all seriousness, Baz, there is a little bit of doubt if he'll even play this weekend. It's just come out just in the last few hours. So, Baz, yeah, it just makes me feel uncomfortable pulling the trigger on Baz this week. Bont, I feel like, is a much better option. Personally, yeah. It's between Bont and Titch for me.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's just a personal decision with whether you're upgrading forward. Well, obviously, Bont isn't a forward yet, so bit of a tough call, but I'd be going, oh, gee, that's hard. If I was tossing up between Bont and Titch, oh, I'd probably go Bont because I feel like you can watch Titch for a week still, and then you can swing Bont forward the week.
Just don't know if people will be having the cash to upgrade next week with a rookie situation. But we've actually got a live poll going at the moment, and at the moment, Bont's leading with 53%, Baz with 25%, and Titch with 22%. So,
yeah. I think Tom Mitchell also, his break-even is 125, so he's not going to go up a huge amount in price. I think the safe play is to watch him for a week, to be honest. So I definitely would be going for Bont if I was in your situation. But each to their own, Toddles. Have to let you make your big boy decisions, which haven't been going too well for you, let's be quite frank. Isaac Cumming, just quickly. What a stinky, stinky selection that has been so far. So you've brought this bloke in, you've talked him up. I think you said he was going to be a top four midfielder, top four defender that you said. So
he's going to average more than Doherty.
Got him 2 weeks ago and he's pulled out an 89 and a 71 against the Weagles. So
yeah, well, he's not going to be versing the Weagles. The Boulders didn't come down there. And who could have predicted that the coach gets sacked and then Mark McVay puts Himmelberg, the most consistent shot of goal in the game since, I think, 2000, puts him down at full back.
It's launching barrels.
And just gives him the license to just launch barrels out there. So yeah, Cummins lost some kick-ins, even though it was barely any. And then it just goes to Himmelberg, who just tries to kick barrels.
Yeah, that does hurt a little bit.
But Cumming will bounce back this week.
Yeah.
And watch him just
Todd.
Just
Got the Lions this week. He's scoring 70.
So the Lions. Hipwood back in the team. That's about 1.8. That's 8 kick-ins right there.
Yeah. We'll say
Cummings. This could be a final call early. This is coming to me right now. I'll hold off until the end.
Okay. Well, I'll eagerly await that. But I just think that the other bloke that is, I don't know why some coaches are looking to bring him in this week. He's firmly in my sights to bring in after round 12 when he has his bye. But yeah, Jack Sinclair, round 12 bye, just would be avoiding for this week.
Yeah, so a lot of coaches I have seen is quite popular this week.
Getting him in
a bit later. Unless you go to Chernobyl, like it. And then come back and is still alive, then maybe you get Sinclair a bit. Otherwise, avoid.
Avoid. So, a few targets there for this week. We might move on to actually thinking about trade strategy. So, who we are, you know.
Actually, just, I think we're getting a bit of noise.
Oh, I'm not the fortune teller, surely.
It's a bit quiet. It sounds like
a few whispers.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like he's as noisy as he normally would be, but he is here, so let's see.
Yeah, he's in the quiet section.
Yeah, I think he's holed up somewhere a little bit.
The quiet carriage.
Yeah, this is quite interesting, actually. I might just see what he has to say.
Yeah, we'll see what he has to say, community.
Welcome back, community, to another segment of Frenchie's Fortune Telling. Now, I am currently in the Monash Library, which is why I can't really fire up. However, just came on here to give a quick little fortune tell. Now, Degoe's done. Don't forget that, community. Degoe is done. He is absolutely Gonski. So do not get him in, community. my next fortune tell, which is a little sneaky one, it's come up, is the great man Dawson. He's going down. He's not going to stay up. He's going down. Won't be top six. Do not get him community. He's done. Thank you. Enjoy.
Honestly, I've just, before I even acknowledge what the fortune teller's just said, I just want to make sure that he's safe. He hasn't been kidnapped, and he actually is at the library, because it, yeah, sounds like a hostage video, that Todd.
Maybe there's some sort of hidden message in his,
yeah, maybe there is.
He's at a bank. He's not at the library, he's at the bank.
And he just code there and needs to be rescued.
Got his access to a phone.
Wowee. I think he's spot on though, Toddy. The whispers of Degoe is done. So, Degoe is done, Todd. That was a terrible selection. But Dawson, can't say that about Dawson.
Degoe, he could well and truly be done. He's got a 2 or 3 week trial period with TFC, and if he hasn't performed and he's by hits, he's going straight up to Basil Bont, I've decided. Should only be, hopefully it's only 150, 200K, but yeah. The guy could be gone, and just he did say very sneaky, so that could be a clue that he's been very sneaky.
Could be.
He's got his hands on a phone, and he's trying to give us a message. And
that is quite possible.
I think him saying that Dawson's going down, I think that's indicating that he's not thinking that straight at the moment, and he is in a little bit of strife, because no one who is sane could possibly say that Dawson is not a top six defender, because he's on an absolute tear, community.
Yeah, he is.
Dominating. Yeah. I said 110 average this year. He's going to come home like an absolute steam train. He's getting used to his teammates.
Yeah, he's
averaging. He's a little bit inconsistent early, but he's starting to just. His left is sex.
2 130s in the last 3 weeks. 3 round average of 123. He's a very good option. Fortune teller can absolutely get in the bin there, Todd, because Dawson is a great option. So
he's sounding a little bit sad at the moment.
I don't know why. I think I started whispering after I heard that. And I just haven't picked it back up. So yeah, fortune teller got me in a bit of a weird mood there, but we'll bounce back.
Just saying that, we're getting some more coverage.
Yeah.
I think there's another message coming through. He's trying to contact us again.
Surely not. If there's two messages, I think that's when we know that something's definitely a bit sus.
We'll listen in, community, and we'll see what he has to say.
Welcome back, community, to another segment of Frenchie's Fortune Telling. Now, I am currently in a library, so I cannot fire up too much, but I just came on here to provide some wisdom for the community. Now, the first player I'd like to go after here is Isaac Cumming. Todd Millington has that man in his side. Don't know why he brought him in, but community, steer clear. That man is putting up shocking performances. Now, another two that I'd love to steer clear of as well, and I'll give you their names right now, community. Zach Butters and Josh Kelly. Now, Josh Kelly playing well at the moment. He's not going to sustain this. Steer clear, community. Do not get them in. The Sparrows have both of them. Do not get them in, community. Enjoy the rest of your week. Fire up. Go to the library.
Jeez, now I'm feeling a little bit more concerned for the fortune teller here, Harry.
Yes.
I believe he was worried his first message didn't get through.
It's a cry for help, I think, Todd.
And it's a second message.
To be fair, I think he's gone
a little bit later.
Yeah.
And I reckon he's even more distressed at the moment, because some of these calls are unfortunate teller like.
I think he's gone 2 from 3 here, Todd. I think that Isaac Cumming is definitely a poor option, and he's struggling, so that's a tick. Zach Butters, despite his back-to-back tons, he's playing away from Adelaide Oval. As soon as he returns there, he's going sub-60s, and I don't think he's a top-6 forward, so I wouldn't be jumping on.
Who's he playing this week? Because I actually believe he's averaging around 110 plus away from Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, he's
actually about 50 at Adelaide Oval.
So very concerning. His game this week is against the Dons, who are a bunch of witches' cones, but it's at Adelaide Oval. And then he has the MCG, Tigers, and then back-to-back Adelaide Ovals against Sydney and Gold Coast. So That's very concerning, having three Adelaide Oval games in the next 4 weeks.
In saying that, he did score 136 round two at Adelaide Oval, but then since then, 58, 57, 58, 52. So, yeah,
very, very
and concerning. In that time away from Adelaide Oval, he's gone 114, 130, 89, 104, 118.
Yeah, just...
So, but just screams consistency.
Yeah, consistently inconsistent. So it's very annoying. But, yeah, I probably will be looking to trade Butters out of my team after the buys, even if he does appreciate, because I just can't see him being a top six forward. So, anyway. So
in terms of, yeah.
Yeah, gone. So that's a tick for me as well. And
just last one. Yeah, just go back to coming. That's just... put some more fuel on the fire for my final call, because don't be surprised if I talk him up. Oh. And community, can I just reiterate?
Jeez.
The last few weeks,
here we go.
I've been on an absolute tear with my final calls.
You'll need all of your fortune telling powers to bring him back to life, Todd.
They call me the fortune cookie.
Oh, no, they don't. They call you a lot of things, but that's not one of them. But anyway, and then last call, Josh Kelly. That's so wrong.
So that is the biggest tick ever, community.
Oh my god,
this man loves to.
You bashed him.
Break into your heart,
Todd. The bloke is,
and just rip it out of your chest.
He's averaging 112, which is probably fair enough below what you'd be hoping for. But his 3-round average is 122. He's gone 153, 85 against Geelong, which was poor, but then 156, 125 last 2 weeks. I'm backing him in to have a good back half of the season under new management. So we're going to leave it there, and we're going to move on into trade strategy, Todd, because we've... Just
in the words of the great BT...
Oh, BT's the worst commentator in the AFL.
I think he's done his string.
He's not doing the string. This is the year.
That could almost be my fortune, but...
Oh, no.
Call. No. That would be so dirty.
No. If you did a hamstring after you called it, I would give up. I would not do this podcast again. That's only for me to save Aaron Hall. So, no, not happening.
In terms of Aaron Hall, is he back?
Yeah, he's back soon. Possibly, I think in a couple of weeks. But he could be a defensive pod.
For those with one more upgrade in their back line, like myself.
Yeah, and myself, actually.
They could be a spot for him.
Yeah, look, that's...
Round 14 by.
Yeah, don't want to think about it, Todd. So we're just not even going to talk about that bloke. But we are going to talk about trades and how we bring in some people this week. So we talked about Cleary. He's probably going to be the number one trade target for people. But who are we actually offloading to get this bloke? Because a lot of coaches this week will be looking at their teams and they'll see DeConning and they'll see McCartan in their back line and they'll think, that's really juicy.
Or they'll see Rory Thompson.
Yeah. No, not me. But if you are, we'll go through a couple of different scenarios. But if you don't have Rory Thompson, or even if you do and you've got... Well, I feel like if you have Roy Thompson, it's a sideways trade, isn't it? Just Thompson straight to Cleary.
Yeah. It hurts.
It's yuck.
I'm not sold on Cleary at the moment.
So if you don't get Cleary, would you be bringing in a different rookie like Sam Butler, who you talked about?
I'm almost tempted. A Butler or even a Cooper Stevens.
Yeah.
All I know is one or two of them, not all three, will be good. I reckon one or two will be good.
I think
most likely one.
Yeah.
And the one I pick definitely won't be the good one.
Yeah. So just follow my community and don't pick whoever Todd picks. So I think that's actually a very good point to remind people. Often there's hype around rookies when they are in the bubble and you think, yeah, have to get them in. But that just is not always the case. And you only have to cast your mind back about 3 weeks to when Jack Carroll pulled out a couple of good games and everyone thought, yeah, he has to come in this week. And since then, he's just absolutely stunk it up and his job security is not great anymore. So I went for Hamilton, though, to be fair, who got dropped, which is another example of...
He had a great game, but...
Yeah, a great game, was dropped. I don't know what McVay's doing there. But, yeah, Carroll, 95-59, people thought, yep, I'll jump on. And then he's gone 28-38 and his cash gen has really stalled.
Yeah, there were a few rumours that it was in the clause for when Leon Cameron did depart that he's... final act would be to drop Hamilton.
Yeah.
So in order for McVay to take up the coaching role, he had to allow Liam Cameron to get Hamilton back to the twos and just screw us in a dirty way one last time, because that was a nasty one, wasn't it?
Yeah, big time. But, yeah, so look, I feel like the majority of coaches will be going to bring Cleary in this week, considering that most coaches have cash cows in their defence. But a lot of coaches will be looking and thinking, blokes like Sam DeConning and McCartan have still got cash to make, which is a fair enough consideration. What's your take here?
Yeah, so I know myself, well, I do have Rory Thompson, so that just makes the decision a lot easier.
But for people that don't have Rory Thompson.
Yeah, so for those who have DeConning and McCartan, and you...
I'm thinking about doing something a little bit different.
And you want to... Yeah.
It's hard because a lot of coaches would probably be similar to myself, where you've got one spud rookie running around on the field that you're a bit nervous about getting their points. So for me, that's Rioli. And to be fair, he had a good game on the weekend. But ideally, you want to be able to get those rookies that can tank your week and score 10 off the field. And there are two options, I think, with bringing in someone like Cleary. You can go early on a bloke like DeConning, even though his break-even, and McCartan's break-even's low as well, but DeConning's break-even's 43. He'll hit that, and he could go up between 15 and 20K. McCartan's break-even, on the other hand, is 41, and he's in a similar boat, so he could go up between 15 and 20K if he does score 70 or 80. So if you trade them out for Cleary, you're probably sacrificing maybe between 15 and 20K of cash generation from them, but you're getting Cleary in, who's going to appreciate a projected, I think it's about 60K if he does score 68 again. So you're still obviously generating more coin, but there's another option, Todd, which I actually am coming around to. Cash gen takes a bit of a hit, but points on field are maximised. For people that have someone like a Rosas in the forward line, I know that his break even is still low. I think it's about 12, but he's probably only got, 40, 50K left in him max, I reckon.
I'm going to stop you there, Will.
Yes.
Did flag it earlier.
Mm.
Not this week, next week, North Melbourne.
Yeah.
But... Rosas could kick a couple of snags.
Yeah, could. It just, we have to consider who we're actually going to offload. Yeah. So, look, the safe play probably is to just go a week early on someone like DeConning and bring in Cleary. But you could, if you were really wanting to get a certain rookie off the field, you could trade someone like Rosas early, except that you're going to sacrifice a bit of cash gen, and then swing someone like DeConning or McCartan into your forward line at F6, probably, get their points, which could be that could be 30 or 40 extra points, and then bring Cleary into your back line. So that's another option. But, yeah, I'm 50-50.
Like, I know currently I've got Rioli at F6 or Rosas who can go through there.
Yeah.
But
probably a lot of coaches probably can loophole Rioli or Roses to score through Hamilton if he's in their forward line. So that's a bit of insurance as well.
But I think if you've a few coaches, they might have a banged up cash cow. If you've still got your Wards or anyone who's 250K or just stalling, then that could be an obvious. I'd definitely just swing them into your forward line. Or if you're a forward, and just swing him down back to Cleary and swing McCartan or DeConning up forward. That's definitely the play to go there.
How would you swing them back, though? As in, like, trade?
Yeah, use DPP. So
put, like, a Dacos in the midfield and then bring...
So because McCartan and DeConning have defender forward status, you'd swing him into the forward line with one of your forward mid-rookies.
Yeah.
And then you'd swing him down back, trade him down to Cleary. And then what would happen is McCartan or DeConning would move down into your forward line and it'd allow you to get a Rioli off field or a Rosas off field.
Yeah.
And then you'd have DeConning and McCartan on field at D6 and F6.
Yeah.
But,
I feel like clearly that's the best play. If you do have a spud rookie or a fetus on your field, that you can get rid of, that's the best play. But if you do, like in my situation, I've got Hobbs, McCone and Clark on my midfield bench. And then I have got Rosas and Rioli in the forward line. It's just...
Yeah, there's not really any options there.
Yeah, and...
Those cash cows.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah,
aren't so, really ready to
no, not really. So
get the bolt, as not, you would say.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what I'm going to do this week, but yeah, I feel like there are, that will be the main players to bring in Luke Cleary this week, and if he doesn't get picked by Bevo the following week, that's going to upset a lot of coaches.
Here's one. If you have Rao, would you swing Rao down forward then swing him down back and downgrade him to Cleary instead of getting rid of him?
Swing Rao forward, what do you mean?
So when you go to trade him, you swing him forward, switch someone into the midfield, then you swing him down back and trade him down to Cleary.
Can you even do that? I swear that you're...
I'm sorry, community, but Will's the...
I'm a visual learner, hasn't finished Supercoach
primary school yet.
Yeah, so you're talking about using other people's positions. Other DPP swung his head. Not actually Rao that's being swung back.
Yeah, so if you go to trade Rao and you have the option to swing someone into the midfield and Rao goes forward, then you swing Rao in the back line and McCartan or Ticone would move forward and you trade...
Yeah, so it's not actually Rao going forward. It's other players taking those positions through a DPP swing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just an actual sensible way of talking about it. Because when you say, oh, Rao swings back, it's like, well, Rao doesn't swing back. There's another... Well,
he does because you can trade him down to Cleary. How can you trade Rao down to Cleary if he's not swinging down because back other
players,
eventually?
Other players are shifting into those positions, Todd. But anyway, we're not going to get bogged down into that.
Anyway, you can trade Rao to Cleary and you'd have...
If I was in that position, I'd trade Rao straight to Tom Mitchell.
But then you're in an awkward situation where you have... That'd be about 300k cash. A lot of cash. And you might be copying the fortune teller treatment and be held hostage with that amount of money in your bank.
Potentially. I think, yeah.
Maybe that might explain what's happened to the fortune teller. It just has a huge war chest.
Yeah, that could be the play. Yeah, anyway, are there any other trade strategies you think that need to be considered for this week, Todd?
Yeah, so I'm going to be boring and have to go Rory Thompson to Cleary and just bawl my eyes out while I do it.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'm sort of stuck to doing that because I can't even swing Rory Thompson out of my back line through DPP and get a different rookie. So it's just going to have to be Cleary, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that, look, at the moment it's SDK gone. So we didn't specifically touch on that, but he has the round 13 by, so does McCartan. You can, you know, ideally you probably want to hold them, but given that they play in round 12, but I can see the merit in trading them early. Cleary has the same buy in round 13 anyway, so you're not losing out there. I'm probably going to trade Conning for Cleary, but I'm considering trading Rosas as well because I can see him scoring 2 points this week. So anyway, that's a few trade ideas, community. Vice captain options this week. Are we
going to talk about upgrades at all, Will? Yeah, so
probably should touch on a few upgrade targets. Yeah,
considering a lot of coaches will be going one down this week.
Yeah, are people going to be going one up this week?
Yeah,
probably a few. Won't be myself. Bont. We did talk about upgrade targets. Talk about
Bont. Yeah, so if you do go down,
fuck you, Todd. You bag me. We talked about Bont, Baz, Titch. As upgrade targets.
Yeah, but who would you trade to get them? So Nick Martin. We haven't spoken about Nick Martin.
Nick Martin.
Are you getting rid of him?
Well, I got rid of him last week, like all the smart coaches did, Todd. So
yeah, so now...
I've got COG 140 just sitting there on my screen right now, which is very juicy. So
if you do downgrade...
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay. The play would be get Cleary in and then upgrade Martin to
someone else. But if you don't have Martin like yourself...
Yeah. Well, I'm just... Yeah, I'm not upgrading this week. I'm holding.
Who are you downgrading?
Just Deconning to Cleary.
So you're going early on Deconning?
Yeah, I'm going to go early on Deconning.
And how much cash do you have in the bank then?
About 200 and something K.
Just sitting in. I think you're going to cop the fortune teller treatment.
I've done this before, Todd. But, and look, this
how is long actually, is that going to sit there for, Bart?
Till the end of round 12.
Jeez, that's just a lot of money.
Put it this way. I just think that this is actually a good topic to talk about. For people that were coming into the buys, you don't want to be trading blokes in that are playing in that have the round 12 buy, do you? No. So I've freed up.
I'd almost save around 13 buy as well, because that is a bit of a.
Yeah, unless they're a rookie. That's different. So you don't really. I think this is a part of the season where it's okay to be setting yourself up for an assault during the buys after round 12 with a bit of extra cash sitting around. I think this is an appropriate time for it, because you don't want to just upgrade for the sake of it when you're not upgrading to good options. So, yes, I've got 217K on my bench right now. My midfield's complete. I've got one rookie in the forward line, but I can't. Who do I upgrade to in the forward line? There are blokes like Bont. There are blokes like Baz that are going to come in. My midfield's already complete. There's no point trading them in this week. Defenders, I've got Nick Dacos on the field. I want to be holding him until round 14. So it just makes sense for me to hold. The only line I would consider upgrading in is the ruck line. That's a potential option for me as well. But you just have to look at your buy structure. that's definitely the key play.
You could almost be tempted to trade. Bring
in Sean Darcy this week. Or Gorney. I'm actually off Gorney, but yeah, Sean Darcy's a bit tempting.
Yeah, and just my trades this week. So I'm going Cleary for Rory Thompson. And I did mention that I had a bit of money in the bank coming off last week. So I was looking to trade Martin out this week.
Yes.
Initially, it was going to be to Bont, but I did indicate that if Titch went big and he was back, because he was sick, that's why he scored that putrid score, and it's allowed him to drop to below 500K. This was a man that you said would challenge the Big Four preseason.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure myself, I've got our midfield projections before the season started, but he was well and truly in both of our top sixes.
Yeah, I think he was, yep.
And he's under 500K.
Yeah, it's a good option.
The Hawks, if they get on a run and they're looking to make finals, Sam Mitchell is keeping him around the footy, because when he plays around the ball, the Hawks look a much dangerous side.
Yeah, that's fair.
My fortune last week. I gave it back to the fortune teller for just serving up rubbish. Of course, DeGoey's not a buying option. He's shite.
Been terrible. So, look.
But Mitchell, 120 average, I said.
Final call, Todd?
No, I've already done this fortune last week. He's going to average. Yeah, before he scored 129, I said week, he's top. Averaging 130. I'm putting 120.
Final call for this week. What have we got?
Just got to get the.
Just interrupting your flow. Sorry.
Yeah, mate. I'm still talking about my trade. So, initially, it was going to be Nick Martin to Bond. Because Bont will get forward status. If for some reason, I don't know, something happens weird and, I don't know, the Earth aligns with the Sun, which aligns with the Moon, which aligns with Jupiter, which aligns with one of the fortune teller's fortunes.
Yeah.
And the Bont just doesn't play forward for a minute.
Yeah.
Then he's definitely going to get that forward status. So the Bont is... Look, he's still tempting me. I wanted to bring him in last week, but I went Brayshaw instead. Just every 50-50 just doesn't go my way.
Yep.
Baz, about just that illness as well. That's really putting me off Baz.
Avoid Baz this week.
But Titch, I have to go with my gut here. I have to go with my...
it served you well. You've got blokes like...
I have to back up my talk.
Brayshaw, some real rippers in the last couple of weeks.
Brayshaw will get 200 this week. Then I'm going to spam your DMs.
Against the D's, he's going
this bloke says not a word last week about Caniglio. He doesn't give me anything.
I literally said...
About I'm trading him out. And then every 2 minutes he's saying, oh, mate, like he was just the most obvious hold ever. Yeah, it's real tough saying that after he's already scored his score. Hero.
You can put your cape on
after. I'll put my cape on after this round and be like, well, it was so obvious that Lachie Neal was going to get 142 on the dot.
Yeah, well, look, we'll see, Todd. Put your money in your mouth.
It'd be creepy if he actually gets 142 on the dot. But, in saying that, Titch, Hawks are going to get on a run. He's averaging 120 for the rest of the season. He's coming into the TFC, and he's just going to give us that boost that gets us going.
Well, we know you love trade boosts, and hopefully this does give you a separate sort of boost, so I don't mind that.
All right, Harrow, very long pod. We're finally here.
Yep.
This is all the community. That's the only reason they've tuned in, is to hear my final call.
Righto, Todd, what is it, man?
Carries a podcast, and I'll just, in light of fortune teller's ramble.
Yes.
Come to me, fortune teller. Coming. 134.
Okay.
That's come to my head. 100 come to my head.
If he gets 134, then you can officially retire, I think. But wow, that's a huge prediction. We don't mind.
And this is off the back of an 89 and a 71. See, I'm no coward.
Well, all right, I'm going for a...
Here we go.
Yeah. Gorney.
All right.
Beating up Spud Ruckman the whole year. Massive purple patch against blokes with one arm or not recognised Ruckman. 3-round average of 81 against good Ruckman like Goldstein and Ryder, and then 73 against the Weagles. Yeah,
I'd say he scored 215 against Goldie before in his prime. Yeah. So.
Well, you know what? Sean Darcy this week, Gorney, sub 90.
He's gone sub 90 the last 3 weeks, mate. So.
Oh.
You could do a little bit better than that.
Equally bold call. He's gone 89, 73, 82. So, yes, he has gone sub 90 the last 3 weeks, but.
I'm backing him.
I think most people would be tipping him to bounce back this week, and I think he's going to go sub 90 again. So, yep, that's it. Gorney, out of my team.
Don't really
In my team after round two, which was, anyway, could be a good decision in hindsight. Anyway, we're moving on to my captaincy pick.
Not really a final call when it's...
Oh, that is a very relevant final call, but anyway.
No, I'm just saying, it's not really our last... talking point.
Well, that's true, but...
We'll just touch on our captaincy options. So, me and Will, we did have a bet with mates going, and we did say whoever lets down the multi, so across the three Sunday games, we'd get to pick the other person's VC, and what do you know? We both let down each other.
Yes, we did.
And we both missed, I think, 2 legs each, so here we are.
Yep.
I got to pick Will's VC. Only had Hamilton.
That's the loophole.
As the loophole. So it didn't give him... He plays first thing Saturday, so it only gave him a Friday night game.
Yep.
And it was between Short and Parker. So I've given you Short. Watch him get 160.
Yeah, well, I hope so, Todd. I was actually being generous to you. I was trying to help your team out, which is obviously struggling. So VC, I've chucked on Angus Brayshaw, who's gone well against the Demons in the past couple of years. So hopefully he can help TFC out this week.
Yeah, so I'm... Community, I wouldn't advise Ian's going Short, VC or Park. I'd stay clear there unless you are in Will's position, have no loophole. Brayshaw, in the meanwhile, Will's actually helped me out here. Does play well against the Ds usually. 125 and 118 the last two times. He's due for a big score.
Yep.
The Ds won't tag him, so I can see him get a bit of outside ball. He's not the worst option. McRae, popular... C option this week.
Yeah, good option.
Against the Weagles, he could easily pull out a 150, I feel like.
Yeah, I currently have Oliver as my captain, so he treated me well last week, and I'll be going back to the well, I believe.
Any more? Neil has GWS, so a little bit, I'm not confident there.
I think Rory Laird is a good option, to be honest. I think that he's just super consistent. He's got the Cattery this week. I just can see him playing well, so yeah, he's a good option.
This one, I know this is not you, Will, but if you got the testicular fortitude to back a man off of 59 last week, took to get 150 plus against Hawthorn last year,
could bounce back hard.
But to go someone after they dished up a 59 would be a bit tough. Dunkley, McRae. You'd rather go McRae. Yeah.
Definitely.
Except in saying that 132 and 151 the last two times Dunkley's played West Coast, but it is a different side. McRae will just... I can see McRae having 45, not having any influence.
Anyway, we're rambling.
We better sum it up. This is way too long.
good luck, community. Hopefully you'll go better than Todd this week. You definitely will. And we'll chat to you very shortly.
And if you haven't noticed already, the pod does have a little bit of a different feel, but that's because there's a few changes happening at the 1%ers,
and
you'll soon learn why.
But yes, stay tuned next week and find out why.
Yeah. Bye for now.